everyone. We are back for another episode of the Hound Sign Center's podcast series, Off the Stage, our first episode of the new year, 2024. I'm Maddie Miller, the media specialist for the Hound Sign Center, and today I am joined by Senior Vice President of Talent and Diversity at the Right Place here in Grand Rapids, Tarita Johnson. Tarita, thanks so much for making the way over here today.
Thank you so much for having me come. It's a little cold outside.
I was going to say
I'd
those roads.
Much rather do in person, right?
Yes. Yes, I'm like glad you got here safely. So for those of you listening, this week at Grand Valley, we are celebrating Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Commemoration Week, and Grand Valley is hosting a ton of events, which have already been awesome, and we're excited to get to take part of those. The Hound Sign Center's Cook Leadership Academy is welcoming Tarita to our stage this coming Thursday at 5 p.m. for a moderated conversation that will weave together her story with the legacy of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. So RSVP information is available in the episode description. And I also wanted to mention that if you're listening to this episode and January 18th has already passed, do not worry, because we record all of our events so you can go back and listen to Tarita's event, and that link will also be available in the description. So first we're going to start off the podcast with how we always start our podcast, which is some questions from our BOQ, which stands for Bowl of Questions. And Tarita, you'll notice I don't have the BOQ. About 10 seconds ago, I remembered that I forgot it, but it's like this bowl just literally that has questions written down. But I will just run back some of my favorite questions that people have pulled out and read and answered, and then you can just answer those if that works.
Sounds good.
Okay, so one of my favorite ones is, what does a perfect Saturday look like for you?
Oh my gosh. So I really am busy a lot during the week. So a perfect Saturday is when I really get to chillax. So
yeah. Yep.
It's different depending on the type of year, where we're at season-wise. So right now in this cold, I'm not trying to go out.
Yeah.
I want to be in pajamas,
yes,
or sweats,
comfy
or
clothes.
Yoga pants. I love movies or series. I can really get caught up watching something over and over. It's been a while since I've had an opportunity to do that.
I was just going to ask if you're watching anything.
No,
right
not
now.
Right now. It's been a long time. I think maybe the last thing I watched was like a show where these people got lost. They went on a plane ride. I can't even think of the name
of it. Oh my
gosh,
I know what you're talking about. And then it's like 5 years
yes,
goes by.
Exactly, yes.
I know what you're talking about. Why? I can't think of it either.
I was so caught up in it. And I've got, you know, several others that I would watch. And then I got some guilty pleasures. Like, you know, I like some of the reality stuff. I don't know why. Yeah. I just study human behavior, and I just like to get out of my life and get into somebody else's even if it's fake.
Yeah.
So
what's your favorite reality show? I have to ask.
You know, and like I said, it's been a long time since I've watched anything reality, but TV in general, because I'm just busy. But I'm not really into the Housewives anymore. In the very beginning, I liked that, but I just can't stomach it now.
Okay.
But, you know, I like cooking shows a lot. Yeah. I like cooking competitions. I like stuff like that.
Okay,
you know,
fun, yeah.
I've got some other guilty ones that, you know, I can't think of off the top of my head. But that's a perfect day. If I can get into comfy clothes, do popcorn, ice cream,
love
junk.
That.
I like to have all the stuff with me. I feel like, you know, if I got my kids with me, we can just sit down and just veg out. Yeah. Relaxing.
Okay.
I'm a big candles person and scents person.
Oh.
So I have a fetish with perfumes. I probably got everything. And then scents. So I've got candles all over my house and oils. So that's, you know, I like to be in the comfort of my home. Now, if it's summer, I want to be at the beach.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. The beach. That's so fun. What's your favorite beach here in Michigan?
I love Holland Beach.
Okay.
There's so many of them.
That's the one I go to the most.
It's so simple. It's easy. I like a good book. I'm not getting in the water.
Yeah. Okay. You're laying in the sand.
I like to lay in the sand. I have my umbrella. I don't want to get cooked, but I want to be able to read and journal.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds really nice. Especially on this snowy day. I'm like, man, really sounds really nice.
That's my kind of weather. This is not my weather right here.
Yeah, same. Somebody told me the other day, like, we endure the Michigan winters for the Michigan summers because they're worth
that's
it.
Right.
So, yes, I agree. Okay, one other question from our little BOQ. This is something I asked someone on the podcast a couple months ago, I can't remember, and he had a funny answer. So I'm interested to see what you would say. If you had to hide a giraffe from the government for 1 week, where would you put it? They're like actively pursuing a giraffe, and it's your job to hide it just for 1 week. Where do you think you'd put it?
This is not going to be the answer you're thinking, but I would not be hiding that bad boy.
Yeah.
I like animals when you can see them out in nature, at the zoo, but up close and personal, that's just not my thing.
Yeah.
So okay. For me, I'd be like, here, the giraffe, because I'd be too scared to house it anywhere. That's real awesome. Talk.
Okay. Hey, I respect it. I respect it. That's so funny. So but I forget what the guy that had it on. I forget. He had a lot of follow-up questions. Like, okay. Why are they pursuing the giraffe all this time? And I didn't know what to say.
Yeah,
but
if you know anything about me, you know, like, if it's supposed to be outside, stay outside.
That's awesome. I love that. Well, thank you for answering those fun ones. So now I'm going to ask questions based on just stuff that I've come up with. I kind of, you know, Googled you, looked up like your profile and stuff like that. So, but I always love to just like start at the beginning. So tell us like where you grew up. What was your childhood like? What were you interested in when you were in school? What kind of things were you involved in? That kind of stuff.
Okay. I'm originally from the Cleveland area and I grew up in a suburb called Warrensville Heights, Ohio.
Nice.
That's a very tight knit community there. Okay. Mm-hmm. Everybody, you know, knows family and the friends and the kids have graduated, but we still know each other. Mm-hmm. Cleveland is a different type of city, but it's home and I love it. You know, I don't live there, but I love it enough to go back and visit family. So in high school and even before, I really loved drama and the stage, which the irony of that is growing up, I was really quiet and shy for a long time. Yeah. People do not believe me when I say that. My kids don't believe me, but it is really the truth. But for some reason, when I would get on that stage and I could be anybody or whoever that character was, that was a lot of fun too. Mm-hmm. My mom sings and she sang my whole life growing up. So she had me in something called the Singing Angels. This is the kicker. She had me in every single choir. We'd go sing. They do like nursing homes, all kind of stuff. Y'all, I can't sing. But I've been in every choir. I know a lot of songs.
Yeah.
I've been trained to sing, but I can't sing. You know?
That's so funny.
I did a lot with that. And, you know, when I was younger, I thought I wanted to be like a singer or something. I loved Whitney Houston growing up. And I remember being in a talent show and breaking from the group and having my Whitney debut. And it sure was a debut, y'all, because I can't sing.
That's awesome. I also cannot sing, but I love to sing. So, oh my gosh, that's so fun. So then you grew up in Cleveland. That's so fun. I also grew up in Ohio, Findlay, Ohio.
Yes,
so
I know Findlay.
Actually, my brother lives in Cleveland right now. So we frequent there. So that's really fun. So I saw for college that you went to Miami University.
I did.
How did you choose what you wanted to major in? When you were choosing?
You know, when I was young, I said I was quiet, but for whatever reason, ever since I can remember, people would gravitate to me, especially the underdog.
Yeah.
And anybody that was having some sort of problem, I don't know, I would get cornered in the bathroom. Like, I just began to accept it. Like, even as a child, people would just gel to me. And so I said, you know, I really want to be a therapist. And this was after I figured out I can't sing. But, and I just wanted to be able to counsel people and make a difference and make people's lives better. So that's why I decided to major in psychology. I was really fascinated by the human mind and how people operate. Mm-hmm. And then in my junior year, my advisor introduced me to social work. And I was like, oh my gosh. Then when I go in there, psychology is more of a science. So we were studying everything and I love that. But social work, I got in there, they was in circles, they was talking. You know, they were talking about problems of the world and how it impacts people, and it was different. So the blending of psychology and social work was a really great mix for me.
Okay. Yeah, that is really cool. Were you involved in anything else when you were in college?
Everything.
Yeah.
You know,
I love hearing about those things.
I was in a lot of things. I was in Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated. I am still a Delta. That is a lifetime commitment. It's a historically black sorority.
Awesome.
We just just celebrated our Founders Day on January 13th, 1913. I was in many, many things. I was a Spanish tutor. I tutored Spanish throughout college. My kids are in Spanish immersion today, but don't ask me if I know Spanish. For whatever reason, grammar and the way it clicked in my mind, I was able to tutor it very well and do successful and help others to be successful in basic level Spanish. I was an academic peer mentor, so I went to different residence halls and trained students on how to study, how to manage their time. Like I could use a little bit of that right now myself. I also was in the Minority Students Professional Association, which is a business association. I was in the Miami University Gospel Choir, leadership. I did a lot. I was an RA. I had many, many extracurricular activities while I was in college.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's cool. And that makes sense, though, because I saw that you are doing, like, higher ed. You got a PhD in higher ed. So that makes sense that why you were, like, so involved back then.
I'm still in that PhD program. I'm in a dissertation phase. Sometimes I fall off the school bus. But, y'all, I'm back on this school bus and back to writing.
That was actually one of my questions for you. So you're in a PhD program right now in higher ed, which is kind of different considering you don't work in higher ed right
Absolutely.
Now. So tell me a little bit about that.
So I have this eclectic background, a blend of higher education, corporate, and now nonprofit.
Yeah.
All of it marries together. Mm-hmm. So when I started my PhD program, now I've been done for the last 2 years with all of my coursework, all of my comps exams successfully.
Nice.
It's this doggone dissertation.
Yeah.
Now I am on my third topic, but I am no longer changing my topic and I'm keeping it here.
Yep.
But I worked in higher ed for a long time. Mm-hmm. I had this blend between corporate and higher ed. So I've been everything from the residence hall director, assistant director of admissions. Yeah. I've worked at a lot of colleges.
I was going to say, I saw the Career Center.
Career Center at Calvin University for 6 years. I've worked at Penn State. I've been kind of all over the place. Mm-hmm. And then I took this stint in corporate for a long time, you know, and then I, somewhere or another, that therapy thing, I did do therapy for a stint, and then I taught adjunct on the side at Calvin in social work. And what I'm doing today, it actually marries everything.
Really?
I have an interesting understanding of how you get talent, whether it's entry level talent from leading college talent, also leading professional and executive level talent. So I've just blended all of these experiences.
Yeah.
And so what I'm doing in my dissertation, I'm looking at the role of education, any form of it, and Black woman entrepreneurship in the state of Michigan. So I'm blending higher ed and economic development together.
Awesome. That's really cool. So what's the projection? When do you think your dissertation is going to be
done? I got to buckle down. I'm saying in 2024, because I'm not trying to pay no more, y'all, for real. I am so busy and something
How do you balance that? That is
It's also resistance, right?
Yeah.
So we talked about like what I like to do if it's the perfect Saturday, and you notice I didn't mention writing, you know? So even though I like to write, I like to free flow write, and academic writing is very different. And so when I sit down at the desk, it's the matter of just constantly sitting down because it is overwhelming. Right. Yeah. Sometimes I deal with stereotype threat. I deal with the busyness of my life. And because it's not what I love my topic, but in making sure that I'm writing what I want to write, what I want to say, sometimes that's a challenge. That's real talk.
Yeah.
But I do it. So I'm thinking by the end of 2024, I'm going to have this degree.
Yeah. I love it. Love it. So actually a couple months ago on the podcast, I was talking to a professor, and one of the things that he offers to his students is to like help them decide if they should go the PhD route, because it's like, he almost like encourages like not everybody to do it, because he was just kind of, and we just like talked about that route, which like I just thought from a college professor, I'm like, why wouldn't you encourage every student to get a PhD? So I'm just curious if you have any thoughts on that. Like, why did you decide to go for a PhD, and do you think it's for everyone?
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely not for everyone. Mm-hmm. But what I would caution, sometimes we are our own worst enemies. So sometimes you don't know what you have in you. Yeah. And what this PhD journey did for me was a lot more than just the academics. Mm-hmm. It was also the cohort. My cohort is extremely diverse from all over the country, mm-hmm. all looking at different layers of higher ed. Mm-hmm. What I have learned from them, from the faculty, I go to school in California, has been really, I can't even measure it. Mm-hmm. The depth that I have now. So yeah. sometimes we underestimate what we can do. So if you have an intellectual curiosity mm-hmm. and a hunger, and you realize that this is a journey, and you have the right coaching and the right faculty and support around you, then I would just investigate it. I don't want to just say that automatically don't do it, but it's a lot of money. It's a lot of time. You can get it fully paid for in your younger years, or maybe a job can pay for it. It just depends on where you work.
Yeah.
Investigate all of those things and where you are in your life. Mm-hmm. You know, if I would have done it earlier, I wouldn't be so busy. Mm-hmm. But I will tell you this, in every classes were easy for me. Mm-hmm. It had to push me to think, and I read a lot of things, but because they were easier because of experience.
Okay.
So when I was in the class, mm-hmm. I had a lot to add because I had years of experience. Yeah. So I was more of a practitioner mm-hmm. versus just a student. And so I had to learn to be more scholarly. So okay. I don't say, but he is right in that it is not for everyone. It is a journey. But I want to caution you, because I know so many people that mm-hmm. said, I can't do this, and they're sitting here being a doctor today.
Yeah, that's so true. Mm-hmm. That makes me think, like, when I did a 1 year of a master's program and then decided it wasn't for me, but it was kind of nice to hear the different experiences. Like, I was right out of college, but then I had, you know, peers in my class who had 20 years of experience. And so just to have those different things. And then, you know, we had different strengths and weaknesses through our cohort. So
absolutely. Yeah, I think too, it depends on what you want to do in your life.
Yeah, exactly.
If you want to teach, and you want to work at the collegiate mm-hmm. level, or you want to be an administration, you know, go all the way to that PhD.
Yeah.
But certain jobs, like the job that I'm in today, they don't require me to have a PhD or, you know, so it just depends on what you're looking to do.
Yeah, for sure. That's cool. So I actually had a question in here about you were the director of the Career Center at Calvin, which I think is so cool. I was actually an intern in our Career Center in my undergrad, and it was just like some of the most impactful work, just like looking at like, what do I actually want out of my life? Not just like practically, but also like, what is my vocation? Like, what am I meant to do and all that stuff? So, and it's why I decided to go, venture into a master's in higher education before I missed all the creative stuff. But anyways, what were some of your favorite parts of just working at the Career Center, and why do you think career centers are an important part of a mm-hmm. college campus?
I loved working at the Career Center because I love motivating people to their next.
Yeah.
And actually developing them, you know, mm-hmm. so it was so fun having students from all over the world come through that office, different majors. I mean, the level of diversity, I think, was fascinating and so important. My staff, amazing. And just, we got the opportunity to build a life skills program called Calvin Life Work, where we looked at what people were called to do, what their purpose, mm-hmm. how they even manage finances. And we, you know, so we were able to do some really impactful work. Career centers, I tell you, should be right up there when you're doing tours for college or when you're on the college campus. Some majors don't require you to go in. You definitely should go in.
Yeah.
This is really, first of all, they know everybody.
Yeah.
They know all the employers. They know the faculty. They mm-hmm. are the liaison and the broker. Now, I know your director of the Career Center, Troy Farley, knows everybody. And Cindy over there, mm-hmm. I mean, you have such a wonderful mm-hmm. Career Center here. I know many of the staff and have known them for years, and they are highly connected. Mm-hmm. Wherever you go to college, these folks know everybody. They can help. I'm going to give you a story to help explain this question a little bit better. So I had a student. She would come to in the beginning when I first started, I did a lot of presentations. And then finally, my staff had them doing many presentations. She would come to all of my presentations. It was like she just couldn't get enough. Then she would come see me in the office. And then when it got time for her to interview for a job, she said, "Tarita, I've got a lot of interviews, but I want to work for this particular company the most." Now, fast forward. Now the companies are on campus, and I happened to go to lunch with this particular company that was her top choice. Mm-hmm. And they say, "We interviewed this slate of students. This particular student, she did well, but she said she has a lot of interviews, and we just don't think that we're a priority for her." I said, "Oh, no.
No.
You are actually her top choice." She got that job.
That's awesome.
And I believe she's still working there today. And she was an international student. Mm-hmm. So just think the connections you can make. I have another story. A young lady worked for me for a very long time. Mm-hmm. An employer came to me and said, "I'm really looking for some strong talent." Mm-hmm. I introduced him to this young lady. She went out there. Mm-hmm. He found out that the job that he had wasn't at the skill level that she needed. She actually needed more. He walks her to the company next door. They don't have a job.
Yeah.
They create a job for her. This was 5 years ago, and she's leading in that company today.
That's amazing.
She's moved from Michigan, and they still kept her on.
Oh, that's awesome. Those are such cool stories. I feel like those kinds of stories come out of career centers all the time.
Oh my gosh. Just the opportunity for them to look at your resumes, for them to coach you and teach you how to interview. They have a lot of practice interviews. They have employers coming in. And for years when I was recruiting, I spent a lot of time in career centers, and I found the best talent that way. Not necessarily just from the career fair. It was actually volunteering in that career center, doing workshops when employers would come in. The touch that you get and the development you get in not just your career essence, but also your professional development. They have a lot of stuff to offer.
For sure. I totally get that. I even loved one of the coolest things when I was like a year out of college. I was looking for a job. I was deciding to quit my master's, and I was like looking for a big girl job. And I actually contacted our director of our career center, who I knew really well, and he was happy to meet with me, even though I didn't even go to the university anymore. Because people like that are just like so well connected. They help you just like brainstorm and like have best practices. And I think those connections are so valuable.
So valuable. And I would say here at GBSU, you have so much going on through your career center. Lots of great folks there.
Sure.
Even the Talently program with Dana Hebriard, her and I are great friends. I mean, I'm friends with many of these folks in this career center. And to me, means no matter where you are, what you do in your personal or professional or your academic life, you have influence. Mm-hmm. Everybody that you're around, you have influence. So how I even operate when I meet people, in team working with people, with my colleagues, with my friends, I have a sphere of influence, and I have a responsibility to uphold integrity.
Yeah.
Regardless. And I also have a responsibility to use my voice to impact change.
For sure.
So if I'm in a situation, for instance, let's say they put me on an interview committee, and I've done this many times, and I see unconscious bias because we all have it, then I need to call that out.
Yeah.
And there's a way that you can call that out where you're not disrespectful. Mm-hmm. But you're leveraging your voice to impact change. If I'm doing a workshop, I'm going to tell you the facts, and I'm going to share personal story and hear your stories as well, because I know that can create change.
Yeah.
So I feel like every single day that I wake up, I have an opportunity to make a difference. And I have an opportunity, whether it's the person that is shoveling the snow, the janitor in my building, I have an opportunity to positively impact everyone's life that is around me. And for me, what's really big is that I see people.
Yeah.
Not just people that are in position, but that I see people everywhere I go and try to do something positive in their lives, even if it's just a smile or a hello.
Yeah, that's great. I love the idea of like doing I feel like oftentimes we think about like all the big things that we have to do, but honestly, a lot of times it comes down to those like everyday, daily little things that we do to make our world and our communities better. So yeah,
absolutely.
That's awesome. So I have two more questions for you. The next one is kind of like one of the questions I asked you in the beginning about your perfect Saturday, but like, tell us a little bit about your life outside of work. So mm-hmm. tell us about your family, you know, what kind of hobbies you have, kind of stuff like that.
So I have two wonderful little girls. One is not so little anymore. She's 15. And I have a 9-year-old, and they are my heartbeats.
I love it.
You know, so a lot of times if I am not at work or busy with professional things, I'm with my children. Mm-hmm. And I'm doing things with them for Christmas. I bought them, I don't know, probably 15 games. Like your old school board games. Yeah, so they do a lot, Nintendo Switch. But I was like, you know what? We're going to have game nights. My oldest really loves trivia to the point where, like, you know, if she gets something wrong, she's frustrated. Or if they're doing some teaming and she can't answer the question and she knows it and someone else is on the team. So I'm teaching her teaming, but... We love stuff like that. I'm a very visual person. Okay. So I have a lot of posters up in the home. I love maps. I want my kids to understand that the world is greater than just the place where they live.
For sure.
And to understand that all people matter and there's people all over the place. Awesome. I'm also actively involved in my church community. So you can see me doing a lot of things. I go to Lighthouse Church off of Madison, and I love it. Now, I go to the type of church, now you got to be ready, where we will run around, we will dance. You cannot fall asleep in our church.
Okay.
And I'm very demonstrative in my worship, but I love that.
Awesome.
I'm also involved in different boards. So I sit on the board for STEM Greenhouse, which is a board. It's an organization that's ran by Dr. Kelly Christopher. She prepares many students in the STEM. This past year, they helped over 1,000 students. And when they go through one of her 5 programs, whether it's in the summer or throughout the school year, these students' STEM scores skyrocket. So I'm a huge proponent for that program. I sit on some other boards as well that I'm really passionate about. But yeah, and I have these groups of friends when I have time that I love to hang out with as well. So
awesome.
I have a very full life.
Yeah, I love to hear it. Yes. That's awesome. I love it. Thanks for sharing all of that. So the last question is the question I always end all our podcasts with, just because I feel like it's a great way to wrap up everything you've shared and are going to share at our event on Thursday. But for someone maybe wanting to go into a similar career path as you, so, you know, you've done a lot of different things. So maybe just more general, whether it's social work, higher ed, whatever, what advice would you give to them?
Mm-hmm. I would ask them to begin to interview people. You know, so in more of a casual, informal way.
Okay.
So if you see someone that, wow, I think I would like to do that. And don't stop at just one thing, because as we grow and develop, we change and we look at our giftings a little bit different. So figure out what it is that you're passionate about, stuff that you would do if you were not paid to do. And if you see people doing some of those things may not be created, to be honest, and it may be up to you to create it. But if you see someone, take the time to interview. People love to talk about themselves. They love to talk about their career journeys. It could be 10 minutes on a Zoom. It could be coffee with someone. But actually ask them what their career journey has been like and what advice would they give to you.
Okay.
And write that down.
Yeah.
In addition to that, ask them, who else do you think that I should know? And will you help to make that relationship happen?
Yeah.
And you keep doing this over and over again. And be a student of what you want to do. Begin to study it. If there's podcasts, if there's magazines, if there's subscriptions to things that you can be a part of. As a student, there's always student discounts or somebody that will probably fund you to do those things. Read, watch things, and immerse yourself. But I will tell you, building your network is golden.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's great advice. I love to hear that. I feel like even just in my own personal career journey, that I'm like, okay, yes, I'm thinking of like three people. I'm like, I should get coffee with that person.
Absolutely.
So that's awesome. Well, thank you so much for taking time to come on the snowy roads and come to Grand Valley to record this. We are so excited to have you on our stage on Thursday.
I am so excited, and I'm looking forward to really inspire you and motivate you to action.
That's awesome. And yeah, it's, you're a great person to kind of weave your story in with Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Commemoration Week. So we are definitely excited for that. Again, for those people who are listening, you can register for the event and see all the information on the link below. But if it's after January 18th, I'll also link where you can find Tarita's event on YouTube or on our Rewind. So thank you so much again for listening.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Off the Stage Podcast, a series produced by the Hauenstein Center for Presidential Studies at Grand Valley State University. The Hauenstein Center, inspired by Ralph Hauenstein's life of leadership and service, is dedicated to raising a community of ethical, effective leaders for the 21st century. For more information on our center, our Cook Leadership Academy, or our Common Ground Initiative, visit our website at www.gvsu.edu/hc. To keep up with our current events and reoccurring initiatives, you can follow us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, or LinkedIn, all of which can be found linked below. If you liked this episode, consider giving us a review or rating so we can be found by other podcast listeners. Again, thanks for listening to Off the Stage Podcast.